If they're breathing, God directs them to praise the Lord. Praise God. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord!
Guy, you did fine. But these older people have to get a little more used to that. Turn me down just a little bit. I'm a little bit hot, please. Just a little bit. Thank you. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord!
Okay. Sounds like we have about 500 kids in here, but we only have a few. They have fun in church, and I like to have fun in church. And like I said last week, it was awfully hard for me to come in here, and all of a sudden it was quiet. You know, we're not used in kids' church, we're not used to quiet. We like to really get with it, praise the Lord. So we're hoping that, kids, aren't you ready for the adults to get with it? We want them to get with it today, praise the Lord. I really appreciate our people up in the crow's nest here that take care of the media. So much a part of worship. It's a technology. You know, what's wrong with technology? It can be used to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. It can be used to the glory of God. I mean, I just enjoy singing the hymns, not having to be chained to a hymnal and have to look at the hymnal. I can look up and I can worship God. It's wonderful. Technology. Don't ever think that we use it as God gives it and delivers it. We should just incorporate it into our worship, into our praise. Praise the Lord. Last week, I'm going to give you a little bit of a review for some of those of you that may not have been with us last week. It was actually last year this message was preached. You know, but, It may be that long ago, but hopefully you can remember, those of you that were here with us. But for those of you that may not have been with us last week, I'm preaching a message on praise, on worship, on ministry to the Lord. That's what praise and worship is. It's a ministry to the Lord. And we came to the conclusion that every pattern of Christian living is found in the Word of God. Do you believe that? Say amen. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay. And the Word of God, I'm going to use your stand over here because I don't have enough room here. The Word of God calls us first and foremost to love God. Amen? To love God. To love Him with all of our heart, which is our spirit, all of our soul, which is in our emotions, all of our mind, which is our intellect, all of our strength, or all of our being. You see, an expression of love is to say, I love you, God. Or I love you, Jesus. That's an expression of love. And it's a verbal expression. And God asks us and desires for us to verbally express our love for God. Can you say amen? That's true. And praise is not intended to be empty and expressionless. Praise is to love God. And the church and individuals in the church, myself included sometimes, needs to be delivered from a self-consciousness to a God-consciousness. That's what we talked about last week. And God is seeking those who will worship Him in our worship service? No, in His worship service. Because that's why we're gathered here. See, you know, worship is an anointing that comes from the heart of God. From God's own heart. That's what worship is. Praise can lead to worship, but praise in itself is not always worship. And we started to talk about the rudiments of praise that bring us into worship. Praise is actually thanking God for His doings. Okay? And worship does not involve itself in God's doings. Worship involves it in God's person and His presence. And we desire to have His presence with us today, right? It says wherever two or three are gathered together, there He is in the midst of them. But we want Him to enter into our worship with us. Amen? May we see the difference between praising God for His doings and when God's person and His presence truly inhabits the praise or inhabits the worship. In the Scripture, in the Word of God, in the Scripture, we find a basic pattern of praise which leads us into worship. And it's a revolutionary pattern. A revolution is that which goes against that which is established. That's what a revolution is. And there's a revolutionary pattern there. You know, it may go against what's established in your life. You know, we need a revolution in the church today. We need a revolution in our own lives today. We need to be growing in our worship and in our praise to God. How many of you believe that in Christ we find deliverance? Amen? In Christ we find victory. Amen? In Christ we find liberty. And should that not be in our praise? You see, the Word says, and by the way, I hope you got your sheets with all the Word on so you don't have to be... Can you wave them at me? You've got them? I think the ushers have been doing their work. I hope they have. Okay, good. I want to make sure of that. Anyway, Psalms 22:22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. When the priests approached Mount Zion, they did so not in wild abandonment. When they approached Mount Zion to worship the Lord, but they did it with order and congruency. You see, the tradition tells us that David taught the Levites how to worship, how to praise. There's very few people in the Bible that could praise like David praised. And it's thought that he taught them how to worship. And they did so, and that time they were going up Mount Zion, they did so following the ascending accord of ministry found in Psalms 122 through Psalms 134. After a full day of preparation, they would ascend Mount Zion to worship, singing 24 choruses of praise, each element of praise building on the other element of praise, and it would be God, they would be ascending, God would be descending, and where they met, it was glorious worship. Amen? Would we not want to meet that place, meet God in worship? I hope to think so. I hope. I get so excited when I start preaching on praise. I wonder if you really realize that. And it just stirs my heart. And as I hope it stirs your heart too as we come in. As we come into a worship service, as Pastor Tim and Pastor Cheryl and our worship team, I pray that as you enter this building and the music is going, your heart would be just stirred to worship. You see, Proverbs 27:21 says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Now this is an inversion in the Hebrew. As praise is refined by the man is refined by his praise. Your praise has an effect upon you. Believe me. Anyway, 7 Hebrew words are translated praise found in the ascending accord of ministry. It is not warm-ups. It's not preliminary. Praise and worship is not preliminary to anything. It's the reason we gather together. You can worship God in the message. You can worship God in the offering, of course. You can worship God entirely through the entire service. That's why we gather together, is to worship. The prophet said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's right. We're gathering unto him. Unfortunately, most of us stop praising in our worship when we should begin. And you'll understand a little bit more of that as we go on. We went over 3 Hebrew terms for praise last week. I apologize for the sheet that we handed out last week because I misspelled the first one. Someone, I think it was Frances, came up to me after the service and she says, it sounded like there was a W in TODA. I says, well, there is, Frances. She says, well, it's not on the sheet. So anyway, my secretary, I can't blame the secretary because I didn't have anyone proof that. I should have had someone proof that. But anyway, you know, TODA is the first form of praise. It means literally the extension of the hands in adoration. It's thanking God for things not yet received as well as the things that you have in your hand. It's rejoicing. TODA praise is rejoicing in that which God guarantees by His Word, but has not taken place yet. Todah praise is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why is it a sacrifice? It becomes a sacrifice because I don't feel like doing it. Okay? Have you ever been there? I've been there. And Todah praise also, you know, we're mentally scattered in and out of the service. You're thinking, you're looking at me and I have no idea what's going on in your mind. But you may be listening to me, you may be thinking about what I'm saying, or you may be thinking about where you're going to eat lunch, or what you have to do tonight, or what your job holds for you tomorrow, or whatever it might be. But you can be scattered in and out of the service. And the purpose of Todah praise is to focus on Jesus. Todah praise, the arms lifted up, the palms inward. I'm a vessel and I long to worship you, Lord. The objective of Todah praise is to focus on Jesus and let the inner man, the spirit of man, take control or gain control over the intellect and the emotions. I shared last week that only two times to praise the Lord. When you feel like it and when you don't. That's right. So how do I Todah? It's the lifting of the hands, as I signified before. It signifies a need. It signifies surrender. And from that position of ministry before God, the quoting of the Word of God. I'm going to move on because we just can't go through all of them, all of what we did last week. The second form is Yada. Yada is also a sacrifice of thanksgiving, but it is a free sacrifice. It's the thrusting of the hands forward. It's the extension of the hands. No longer am I focused in and out of the service, but I'm concentrating. I'm worshiping God. And I have my mind focused on Him. And I do so. I worship the Lord with all my strength. Hallelujah. And you know something? Ever so quickly, it'll move into halal. And halal means to shine, to boast, to rave, to be clamorously foolish. You can't stand still. Have you ever noticed sometimes, if you ever have seen me worship, I have a hard time standing still. You know, it's just rocking back and forth. You know, that's a part of praise. Halal is the word that we get hallelujah from, which is used the most, is most of the time when you see the word praise, it is hallelujah, it is halal. It's recorded more time than any other one. Okay, now we're moving in. That was for some of you a review. But now we're moving into the fourth area of praise. The fourth level, the ascending level. And that is Zamar. And I would guarantee that your pastor knows what Zamar is. Zamar is touching the strings. It means touching the strings. It's later used to mean any instrument. But the playing of the instrument will accompany the singing, my singing. It'll accompany my boasting, my raving, my shining before the Lord. Amen? Amen? Where is it? Okay, good, good. The musicians at your position of ministry, Pastor, before God, your ministry is ever so important. You're praising God in full board measure. And as you look to your scriptures, Psalms 147:7 says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp and unto our God." And 144:9 it says, "I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, with a psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. My singing will accompany that which I play." And in Psalms 149:3 it says, "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp." The first praise is halal, as we talked about last week, the dance, yes. And the second praise is zamar, the instruments. Let the instruments accompany the rejoicing of God's people. And if that doesn't excite you as you read through the scripture, I don't know what would. Praise God. Can you say amen? How many of you are praising through the week? Oh me, oh my. Praising, yeah. How many were praising a little bit more last week than maybe you did the week before? I see some hands out there. We need to make that our purpose in life is to praise, is to love God, right? Oh, the next order comes Barak. Now Barak, Barak normally is not used as praise. Only two times in Scripture is it translated praise. It means a quietness before the Lord, quiet reverence. Extremely difficult for some Pentecostals. Do you hear me? Oh me, or oh my. But it's there. It means to bless as an act of adoration. The priest would kneel expectantly before the Lord. It's loud praise that says nothing. How many of you know there can be a tendency to work it up in the flesh? Now you can say, oh me. There can be. But you know, wouldn't it be devastating for some latecomer to one of our services, come in here and walk through these doors back here and find the entire congregation on their knees before God, waiting on Him? How devastating that would be. Let's participate in what we say. Let's participate in what we say. You know, we worship and adore Thee, bowing down before Thee, songs of praise is singing, Alleluia's ringing, Alleluia, 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 Amen. Oh, that we would, when we sometimes we sing, I lift my hands, Lord. We don't lift our hands. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could start participating in our praise? You know, when it says Barak, we would Barak before God. There's the two times that it's recorded in the Scripture, Barak, is praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel in Judges 5:2. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, and when the people willingly offered themselves in Psalm 72:15, and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be baraked. Daily we shall come before our Lord with quiet reverence. You know, I think it's very important because, you know, you can't listen to what God has to say if your mouth is always going. Do you hear me? When you're in a conversation, if you're talking constantly, you're not listening to what the other person says. So you have to be quiet, back off, and listen to see what God's saying. But as we arise, as the ascending accord in ministry, as we arise from Barak, that which is glorious comes forth. And that's Tehillah. Tehillah. To sing in the Spirit. More correctly, to sing from the Spirit spontaneously. It's not a hymn. It's not a song. It's not a psalm. It may very well become a psalm or a song. It may very well be in English or it may not be in English. But you see, it's the residual song of the Spirit. You say, well, I don't do that. But I do. I sing when I drive. I mean, you know, I mentioned last week that my car is the worship zone, especially when I'm alone in my car. You know, my car is my worship zone. I'll be singing, this is the day that the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm rocking down the road. And you know, there's some times when all of a sudden I start singing songs that aren't a psalm, that Pastor, I've never seen it in the hymnal. I've never heard it on the stage. I start singing, and you know, the Tehillah can come forth as a residual song of the Spirit that God can give it to you, and He will sing through you. Don't you know there's joy in spontaneity? Spontaneity. Yes. Hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 3. Ah, here's where it talks about it. It says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And the word, a new song, the praise that's used there is the Tehillah. The Tehillah. And he shall put a new song in my mouth. Who puts the song in your mouth? God does. He puts it, the residual song of the Spirit comes in there. And then it says, and many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it in fear and respect. They will see it in respect. They will know that it's from God. You always think to yourself, well, we're going to run the people off. If we're going bananas for Jesus in here, we're going to have a visitor who's going to be here and out the door they're going to go. You know? Well, if they got the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon them, they might go out the door. But I'm going to tell you, it is, the respect will come. It will never drive people away from the church. Praise and worship will never drive people away from the church. What do they see? In praise and worship, they see, in the Tehillah especially, they see liberty and joy. Years ago in the Marshall Islands, there was a great revival that occurred in the Marshall Islands. And the missionaries, I remember them coming and telling us about that revival, Pastor, and it was just glorious. They were having hundreds of people were coming forward to be saved night after night after night after night. And there was a revival not only in that way, but there was a revival that precipitated that. There was a revival in worship and praise. They began to worship and they began to move in what we're talking about today, and even the Tehillah and others, and the God inhabited the halal. And what was happening is they were having hundreds were coming forward and being saved even before the preaching of the word. I can remember one time, our first church in Spray, Oregon. I got my daughter here, and she knows, she can remember Spray. Fond memories of Spray. Fond memories of finding all those eggs and having that whole basket full of eggs. Our chickens were running free, you see, so we never knew where they hid their eggs. But she found them one time. But anyway, in Spray, we were having a praise revival, a worship revival. I mean, it was just supernatural. Not naturally happening in the church. It was supernaturally happening in the church. And we were worshiping and praising God. And I had a deacon there. His name was John Collin. And John had a friend of his, a rancher friend, who lived down the road. He was a retired pastor. He was really retired, but he lived on this ranch, and he had his own little cottage there, and he helped on the ranch, and he was an alcoholic. And John had asked him to come to church time and time and time again. And he said, and finally Tom Chandler, and you got to picture him, cowboy boots, just like Pastor wears, cowboy boots and cowboy hat and square jawed. You know what I'm saying? Looked like a cowboy. He comes into the service, and he sits down. And we started, and you know, pastors are always nervous, especially my first church. And I was just in my 20s. Anyway, he sits down. I thought, oh boy, this old boy is gonna. He doesn't know what he's walking into, because we were having a worship revival, and we started worshiping the Lord, and God just moved in the service, and people were raising their hands and just clapping, and it went through the whole thing, there wasn't a lot of expression. You got to realize Tom was not, he's just totally expressionless. And we went through the entire service. I preached my message, and I went out to the back of the church, and you greeted people as they were leaving. And Tom came up to me, and he said, tears rolling down his eyes. And he said, Pastor, I want what these people have. I want what these people have. Of course, I'm thinking, man, I had a great message that day. Wasn't the message. He was hooked. Jesus had the hook in his mouth from the time of worship all the way in. I said, Tom, all you have to do is know Jesus. These people know Jesus as their Savior. Led him to the Lord. And just like clockwork, every Sunday, John picked up Tom and brought him to church. And I can only say it was the Spirit of God moving in the worship and the praise of those people. So my friends, when any time you think that when people come into the presence of God, when people are halaling, dancing before the Lord, I'm not a good dancer and I'm not even really a good singer. I make a joyful noise to the Lord. But I do it from my heart and I'm loving God. And how important it is for us to do that. Here's your most favorite verse regarding praise. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. God is not duty bound to inhabit Todah. God is not duty bound to inhabit Yada or Halal. He watches it and he delights in it. But God will inhabit the Tehillah, the residual song of your spirit. And that excites me, my friends, because I want to have a habitation. I want God to inhabit our service. I want him to inhabit our praise. Praise the Lord. Well, Isaiah, you have it written, I believe, in your notes, but I have to look it up. Isaiah 43:19. We're still talking about the Tehillah, the residual song of the Spirit. And it says, Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And isn't that where we often live? In the river, in the desert, and in the wilderness. But praise God. Let's go on to verse 20. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my Tehillah, my praise. The residual song of the Spirit. I'm going to give them a new song. I'm going to do a new thing in their lives. And praise God. You know, we need to always be moving. We need to be moving in a direction. You know, I mentioned last week about New Year's resolutions. We need to have a spiritual New Year's resolution. You know, that and pray. May that be drawing closer to God. May that be drawing closer to him in prayer, in praise. And many, many other ways. May we just come into him. We need to show forth the residual song of his Spirit. That's what it's talking about there in Isaiah. In Psalm 66:2, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Make his praise. No, that's not Pastor Denny speaking. That's the Word of God speaking. Make his praise glorious. Who does it? Who develops it? God is not going to come down and all of a sudden, bang, anoint you to be the tonsils in the body of Christ. No. It is something that you develop in your life and your ministry to the Lord. It's something that is developed over time. It's not just something that will just overcome you, that he'll go against your, you know, he'll take over your being. Exercise it until it becomes a liberty. And I mean, it's hard. For me, it was extremely hard. When I first raised my hands to the Lord, it was okay. And then it was extremely hard for me. I needed some Holy Ghost 3-in-1 oil to get him up there. And I say, try it, you'll like it. It took time. And I'm not arrived yet. We always have to be growing, but I hope that our praise and worship is growing in the right direction. Right? Growing in the right direction. So exercising it is that maybe you do it when you're alone at home or whatever. Well, you might say, I want to, but it's not a part of me yet. You know who's telling you that? The devil says, don't love God. He says, don't love God. Teenager, young person, don't love God. It's not in. It's not what the in people are doing. Well, you know, my Bible says that we're peculiar. We're peculiar. We're different than the world. We're different from others. And we need to realize that, and we need to make His praise glorious. I maintain, David, who was David? David was a man after God's own heart. You agree with me? I mean, the Word says that. David was a man after God's own heart. And is there anyone else that God says that about? What was there different about David? Everybody preaches that, and they say this. He always repented and came repentantly back to the Lord. But I maintain this. David knew how to praise the Lord. David wrote many of the Psalms. It was David who taught the Levites how to praise. And if he's praising, what is he doing? He's loving God. God knew that David loved him probably more than, I don't know if there's quantitatively, but I believe that David praised the Lord, loved the Lord, and that's why God tells us he's a man after my own heart. My own heart. Don't you know that characteristics of praise are learned? Are learned. We move in them. Make his praise glorious. The Levites made his praise glorious. It has been written that they spent a full day in preparation for that 1 hour of approaching Mount Zion and approaching God in worship. You see, if we're praising God and worshiping God throughout the week, how much easier it makes us and allows us to praise God and worship God when we come together in the congregation. And God says, make his praise glorious in the congregation. Two-thirds of the hymns, or not the hymns, the Psalms, were written on the hill of Zion. The priests ascending and God descending were joined together as a worship. They're ascending, singing these various choruses, and many times they were written, like I said, on the hill of Zion. What would happen? They'd be coming along and they'd be worshiping God, and all of a sudden, they're coming up the hill, and they're just worshiping, and they're worshiping, and all of a sudden, over here, some guy just kind of jumps out and says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king, is Mount, you know, he's doing it. And over here, Aesop, hey guys, where are the guys with the tablets? Write that one down. That's a good one. And it became Psalm 48. Ah, it's exciting. Oh my. Anyway, I'll go on. Psalm 34:4:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My, continually be in my mouth. Make his praise, or make your praise, it's actually his praise, you're giving it to him, make his praise glorious. Make his praise continuous. You know, go through the day, go through the week. You know, you can praise God. Remember, you don't have to praise him with a song, you can praise him you can speak to him. Thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, halfway through the day, you can just say, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Thank you for all that you've done. You know, thanking him for his doings, as I said before, that's praise. You know, doing it on a continual basis. I do it in my car. I said, I shared that with you before. That's one of the main major places where I do have an opportunity to get alone with the Lord. But don't you know we have to make his praise glorious. Now, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20, all forms of praise are used. Okay, 2 Chronicles 20, all forms of praise are used. Let me set the scene for you. King Jehoshaphat is in the temple. He's praying. He's deeply concerned. There are 3 to 5 nations that are coming against Israel. That would concern any king. And the Levites are there also in the temple, and they're ministering to the Lord. And begins to sing forth a prophecy. And he says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto thee, O King. That would warm the heart of any king, wouldn't it? All of a sudden, oh, I'm finally getting an answer from the Lord. I'm finally getting an answer. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Hallelujah. Then he says, take the instruments of warfare away from your soldiers. Wait a minute, God. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are not going to go for that. They're going to go into battle empty-handed. Put baskets in their hands. Oh, Lord, I don't know who in the world. My generals will not lead this group. No, I don't think it'll work. Who's going to lead it? Put the choir out front and allow them to sing praises unto me. Oh my. Don't God's plans sound kind of goofy at times? They sound goofy, but God's plans work. 2 Chronicles 2:22 says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set in ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they were that were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. They were smitten. My friends, today God is releasing a powerful form of warfare. I'm serious now. I was a little bit light earlier, but I'm serious now. It's a powerful form of warfare, and it's praise, and it's worship. And it's not just an ordinary, some of the ordinary run-of-the-mill worship out in some of those other churches out there that may not. I'm telling you, it is praise that has a habitation of God. Why? Because when we come into the presence of God in praise, there will be healings. When we come into the God with worship, there'll be salvations. When we come into God with worship, there'll be deliverance. Don't you covet a move of the Lord in the midst of the congregation? Is there someone here that covets that? Say amen. 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 You covet the move of God in the congregation. Remember years ago we used to have camp meeting until they sold the camp. There's some wonderful moves of God in camp meeting. God wants to move. Oh, hang with me. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get through it. When we were in Eastern Oregon and we went to Boys and Girls Camp, when you pastored a church in Eastern Oregon, you were the senior pastor, the associate pastor. You were also the song leader. You were the youth pastor, and you were also the children's pastor. You were everything. And so I took a group of children to a children's camp. Now, why are kids going to camp? Why are they? Now, if you're going to try to be real spiritual on me, you say, I just go to camp to meet the Lord. Yeah, they go to have fun. I mean, you didn't have fun at camp, none of the kids would go. Very few of them. You go to have fun. We were at camp, and there was one of the counselors broke his leg. Yeah, not fun. He broke his leg. They took him into the hospital, and they took X-rays. The leg was broken, and it was swollen up, so they couldn't put a cast on it. You know how they put a walking cast on it, and he came back to the camp. And that evening in the service, we were praising, and the Holy Spirit fell. And we were praising God and worshiping and worshiping, and all of a sudden he got up in front and he said, "I believe God's healed me." He took the cast off. And I thought, my faith was so strong. I thought, oh, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's going to fall flat on his face, and these kids are going to really get scared. He took his cast off, and he went. And then he went up and down, and you could have heard a pin drop. The Holy Spirit fell on those kids, and all of a sudden, you know, God was being glorified. He was being exalted in that healing. And then God started to move in the children. And the children began to receive the, "I'm going to cry, sorry." Okay. They began to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we weren't even preaching about it, or we weren't even leading them in it. And all of a sudden, there were those that wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went through and prayed. I prayed, and every child that I prayed for and prayed with received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was uncanny. Until I got to one boy. And he wanted it. He tears streaming down his eyes. I mean, they were getting baptized with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I mean, they were really baptized in spirit. And he was crying, and I didn't know what I felt. I felt so I hurt for him. And he was the only one that didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll tell you what. Counselor came to me the next morning, and he says, "Guess what happened? Jimmy got back into the cabin. He brought some fruit with him. He had an apple. And he took a bite out of the apple, and he just burst forth in tongues. He was baptized." He was so uptight that he had to loosen up before God could do it. Anyway, God, don't you covet the move of God? And he can in the worship and the praise. Now, in the etymology of the word, that's the word moves from the Hebrew to the Greek. We find because our New Testaments were written in Greek, okay? In the etymology of the word, we move from the Hebrew to the Greek. And Ephesians 5:18 and 19, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Constantly, the implication is there that you're continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a one. Well, bless God, I was filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit 20, 30 years ago, and I've been in the way ever since. And he's been in the way ever since. In the way of what God wanted to do. It's more than just one filling, people. We need to be continually, it says, continually filled with the Spirit of God every day. We need the psalms, we need the hymns, we need the spiritual songs, we need the residual song of the Spirit in our lives and in the church today. Let's move on to Acts 16:25. Let me set the scene for you. Philippi. It's in Philippi. Paul and Silas, who was a prophet in Antioch, were in stocks in the prison for preaching the gospel. Can you see him in stocks up here? And Paul turns to Silas and said, "Silas, please turn to page 189 in your hymnal and we will sing 'How Great Thou Art.'" No, God inhabited their tehillah. God inhabited their tehillah and blew the doors off that prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And hallelujah. Have you ever wondered what Jesus does when we sing? Have you ever wondered that? I'm always thinking of things like that. What Jesus does when we're singing? Hebrews 2:12 says, saying, Jesus, will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I, Jesus implied, sing the tehillah, praises unto God, unto thee. Jesus not only inhabits the praises, but he joins it and he turns it to the heart of the Father. What does the Father do when we're singing? In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. With singing. So that only leaves the Holy Spirit to lead the whole thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. History records. Listen very carefully. History records the early martyrs sang forth the tehillah when they were going into the arenas in Rome. Polycarp was a convert of John. John was the John that died in Patmos at 93 or 94 years old. Polycarp became one of the leaders of the first century church along with two others. And he records that the Roman Christians in the arenas went forth being martyred, singing the tehillah. Now listen to this, and I quote from Polycarp. Our hearts rejoice in that even though we are losing many in the arenas, but as they go forth to their death, they do so singing the tehillah. And he uses the Hebrew word in the Greek manuscript. He says tehillah is used, so there would be no mistaking the residual song of the Spirit. And then it goes on, he goes on to say, the church grows far more from those repenting in the arenas than those who are losing to the lions. Can you say amen? And you say amen, yes. Is it going to scare people? It's going to change lives, my friends, your praise. Psalms 43 says, And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise the tehillah unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's what the word says. Hallelujah. He is thy praise in Deuteronomy 10:21. He is thy praise and is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. He is thy praise. He is thy God. We need to move from self-consciousness to God consciousness. Tehillah gives way to the seventh order, and that is Shabbat. Shabbat. Shabbat means to address the Lord in loud tones, to shout unto God. When no song, no hymn, no spiritual song, you can't even think of one that can express the magnitude of your love toward your God. God is presence in our midst, and you need to shout to the Lord. How many of you like to shout to the Lord? Hallelujah. Let me hear you shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me hear it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. You know, when our first church back there in Spray, I can remember when we would come into worship and praise, or any time in the service, there was a patriarch of that church. Actually, his parents started the church. His name was Ed Sanders. Ed and Nellie Sanders. And he was about 85, 86 years old. And he had a hard time hearing. And he'd be sitting in our services and he'd be blessed. And it could be any time in the service. Any time in the service. God would come in and during the worship or during a message or during an offering or whatever. Any time the Holy Spirit's anointing came down, he would say, Hallelujah! Before you all said you were sleeping, I just woke you up. And he woke up my congregation and I loved him for it. Because if he agreed or he was acknowledging it before you, it was hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, he would just, oh, you could tell that the man was anointed by God and you could tell he had a tremendous love for God. His hand, his thumb, his fingers were bigger than my thumb. And when you put your hand in his, you could tell he was one of the old time loggers. He was enormously big and strong. Anyway, but he loved God. And he shabbat whenever it arose, that the Spirit arose. Praise the Lord. Anyway, shabbat. In Psalm 63:3, which you don't really think about this song when you think of shouting, but it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall shabbat thee. In Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I can't, you know, you can't even quote it, but you can sing it. In Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And as I close, and the instruments can come back, or if they would at this time, just for... I am closing. I guarantee I'm closing. Psalm 22:3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Thou art holy that inhabits the praises of Israel. And as we look back, just a quick review, this is sending a cord of ministry. The Todah is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's I'm in and out of the service. I don't really want to do this, but pastor is asking me, and the Word of God is directing me, but I'm going to raise my hand to the Lord. I'm going to depend upon your Word to see it completed, that Todah. And then the Yada, the free sacrifice with all my strength as I raise my hands and thrust it upward and outward, becomes Yada. Halal, I begin to rave. I begin to shine. I begin to have a liberty. I begin to boast before the Lord. And then Zamar, the instruments of praise will accompany my singing. The instruments accompany my singing. And then the Barak. Be quiet. Quiet praise, kneeling expectantly before the Lord. And then the residual song of the Spirit, Tehillah. Tehillah. And when there isn't a chorus, there isn't a hymn to express my love, I will shout to thee, Shabbat. Psalms 22:22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. We are a congregation. We've got gathered here today. And in the midst of this congregation, my congregation will praise me. Let's stand together as we close the service. And what better way to close the service than loving God, worshiping Him? Some of these songs are we'll start out with Psalm 47, go to Philippians 1:4, and then we come to Psalm 63:3 and 4, and we're just going to worship Him.